Well, today I'd like to talk with you about the work of a Christian, your work, our work together in the field of God, which is the world, to bring His Word into the hearts of men. How diligent are you working in God's fields? Are you out there laboring? Are you out there going forth with zeal to serve the Lord? Amen, Alice, that's good. Question I have for you today is, if your hand is to the plow, how much sweat is on your brow? And yes, I thought of that myself. If your hand is to the plow, how much sweat is on your brow laboring in the Lord's work? A little? Or is it pouring sweat? Or is there not even a drop on your forehead? Let's talk about working today for the Lord and what He seeks and tells us about that in His Word, the Bible, so that we can go forward to it with greater encouragement to serve today. So what's God tell us about our work as Christians in His Holy Word, the Scriptures? First of all, God definitely tells us in His Bible that He wants us to work. We are saved, how? By grace apart from works. But we are saved for works, right? Let's read that in the Bible here and Ephesians chapter 2, that's our famous verse I go back to a lot. It says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It's the gift of God, not because of works, lest any man should boast." So we're saved apart from our works, not by our works, but by God's work, by Christ, what He did for us, by faith in His name. But the next line, let's not forget it. Verse 10 says, "For we are His," that's God's workmanship, "created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So we're not saved by our works, but we are saved for good works. So God definitely wants us to go out, and He saved us for a purpose. He didn't save us to just sit around and rest on our keister, right, the rest of our days. He says, now that you're saved, go, run to the fields, be zealous for deeds. For we read this in also in Titus there, chapter 2, says, "For the grace of God has appeared for the salvation of all men, etc., training us to renounce irreligion, worldly passions, to live sober, upright, and godly lives in this world, awaiting our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ." That's when He comes on the last day. We're awaiting that. But it says, "Who gave Himself," Jesus gave Himself for us to redeem us from all sins and to purify for Himself a people of His own who are zealous for good deeds. So why did God save us? Not only to save us, but He wanted to save us to make us a people who have zeal for good deeds. Do you guys have zeal for good deeds today? If your hand is to the plow, how much sweat is on your brow? How much? You know, God commends work. It's honored in His kingdom. This is what we do as Christians. Think about the end of Paul's letter in Romans chapter 16. The emphasis on this, the honor of it. He says, "Greet Mary, who has worked hard among you. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in the Lord. Greet those workers in the Lord, Tryphena and Tryphosa. Greet the beloved Persis, who has worked hard in the Lord." You see how it is super commendable in God's sight and honorable that we should get to the work and to the work of His kingdom? Jesus says, "Let your light shine before men, that they might see your good deeds, your good works, and give glory to your Father in heaven." So if you are laboring with me in the field and your hand is to the plow, how much sweat actually is on your brow? A little? A lot? None at all? God says, to the work, my friends, to the work. And what is it that we're to be working at as Christians? Let's look at the Bible and see, because He tells us what we should be doing. What's the first work of God? I'd turn to John chapter 6. Now here's that scene. Remember, Jesus just fed the people in the wilderness. Then He goes across the sea on His own two feet. And the people are seeking Him. Where is He? They got on boats and went to the other side seeking Jesus. And when they found Him there, Jesus says, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him has God the Father set his seal. So labor not for, don't spend all your energy in this world going after the things of this world that perishes. Go after the gift, the thing that God's going to give you. And what is that? What should we be? How should we labor? They said, what must we do to be doing the works of God? There's our question. And Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, verse 29, that you believe in him whom he has sent. So Dick, what's the first thing that we're supposed to do? Call it, put you on the spot. As Christians, for our work, that you believe on him whom he has sent. Good. So that's the first thing that God calls us to in our work, is to labor to believe on Jesus. Now that's a gift, right? Our faith in Christ is a gift, but we certainly need to put ourselves in those places where our faith is going to grow strong. Hear the word of God preached rightly. Read the Bible, read the scriptures. Be in prayer, be around other Christians who are going to encourage you in such things. So labor for your faith, that you believe on him whom he has sent. This is the work of God, says Jesus. Second thing to do as Christians, let's look up, this will be in 1 Timothy chapter 1. And open them up over here. What is our aim as Christians? What's the aim of our charge, our duty, our calling as Christians? Paul says, the aim of our charge is this, is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and sincere faith. So Art, putting you on the spot, what's the second thing? First, believe on the Lord Jesus. Second, we are to aim at, the aim of our charge is, rhymes with dove and it starts with an L. Right. Love. See, I'm going to make sure no one falls asleep today. No, I'm just kidding. Love that issues from a pure heart, a good conscience, sincere faith. So that's what we're about as Christians, to go after love, which is zeal for good deeds. Are you guys zealous for good deeds? Do you guys have your eyes open to it? You know, if your eyes aren't open to good deeds, you might miss some good deeds. But when your eyes are hunting for them, going after them, looking for them, like, you know, you're a, I don't know, just a drone searching out its target, then we are going to find them, because God's going to open them up before you. Because what did we read there a moment ago? You are his workmanship, created in Christ for good deeds, which God even prepares beforehand that you should walk in them. So when I go to Walmart, sometimes I pray to God, because a lot of times I'm dealing with Christians here, right? So I go to unbelieving world Walmart, and I'm like, God, give me a good deed to do in here. Do you think God's like, Greg, I wish you'd asked a week ago. I haven't prepared anything for you. Of course. If you ask, he's got it ready for you. Sometimes I'll go in and I'll forget I even prayed, but there's a lady who's like, can't reach the top shelf, and I'll be like, there it is. Can I help you with that? Is there anything else I can get you? Is that, and I'm almost too pushy, you know? But I'm looking for him, and, you know, if we don't, I've missed a lot of deeds because I haven't looked for them. So let's look for them. That's number two. Good deeds, love, especially love your brethren. There's a million ways to do this, and they're all a joy and a delight, even though tough sometimes. Thirdly, let's look at Luke chapter 19. So the first thing God wants us to do is to believe on him whom he has sent, the work of God. That's the work. Secondly, to love one another, zeal for good deeds. And thirdly, Luke 19, verse 10, Jesus says to Zacchaeus in his house, he says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. To seek and to save the lost. So the third thing, who should I call on now? Nancy. What's the third thing we should do as Christians? To seek and to save. Rhymes with, no, rhymes with, no, to seek and to save the lost, right? So let's understand that heaven has an agenda. Jesus had a purpose and a mission when he came. The Holy Spirit has a drive in this world, and we're a part of his army, And what we want to do as Christians is be after bringing salvation of Jesus to other people, to bring them into the kingdom of God. And to this is heaven's agenda, that no one should perish, but that all should reach repentance. And so we are part of that. How are they going to hear unless someone's sent? And how are they going to hear without a preacher? How are they going to hear unless you bear a word to them, the name of Jesus, or at least pray for them or do something or invite them to church? If your hand is to the plow, how much sweat is on your brow? We should be diligent in these, at least all in some way. Now, God tells us next in the Bible, don't be lazy about your work, but be encouraged. What happened with the man who had his master in the parable? He gets 5 talents, something to trade with. He has a resource of time and certain gifts from the Lord. And he goes at once and trades with the 5 talents that he's been given. And he makes 5 talents more. What happens when the master comes to settle accounts with him? In other words, what happens when Jesus returns to the earth on the last day and says, what have you done with what I gave to you? You can say, you gave me 5. Here, I've made 5 more. And what does he say to you? Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over these little tiny things. I'll set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. That's beautiful. Same thing with the guy with the 2. But the guy that buried his talent and did nothing. In fact, he never wanted to serve in the first place, it seems, because he didn't even ever go and trade. And when Jesus comes back in that case to settle accounts, what's the man say? He starts to blame Jesus that he did nothing. He starts to say, you're a hard man, etc., things like this. It's all your fault, Jesus, that I didn't do anything. Is that going to fly? Nope. He buried his talent in the ground, and Jesus will say to him, you wicked and slothful servant. You should have at least invested it in the bank and gotten some interest. But having done nothing, his place was to be in the outer darkness where men should weep and gnash their teeth. So God is encouraging you. Is there not much sweat on your brow today? Well, this is a time to be encouraged. You still got plenty of time. And God is going to bless you in it. It's a beautiful thing. None of us are perfect in this, of course, but let's aim to be hot and not lukewarm. You want a lukewarm coffee? Well, go to the narthex. No, the narthex is hot. But Jesus spits out lukewarm. He'd prefer you be against him with cold than lukewarm. But he says, be hot. So that's why we're here today. You're in the right place. Let's help each other burn brighter toward this. And if it's not been on your mind, well, now it's time. Let's get to it. Think about Paul. He said, Christ we proclaim, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, to present every man mature in Christ. And then he says, for this I toil, which is another word for labor, which is another word for work. For this I work, striving with all the energy which he mightily inspires within me. His brow, if you will, was pouring with sweat, and he loved it. He loved it, working for the Lord. And it is a delight to do this, so let's go after it with the Lord. Let me ask you another question, though. Can you, you shouldn't be slothful and lazy, but can you overwork as a Christian? You think? Can you take on too many tasks, go in too many directions, take on too many burdens, and try to fix every problem in the world? Do you know Christians like this? Am I talking about you? Sometimes I'm talking about me. You know, because we have these internet little phones nowadays, and you read all the trouble on the news, and you're like, oh, this problem, and that problem, and this problem. You're trying to carry it all, and it's getting heavier and heavier and heavier. Maybe you're a Christian who says, oh, I want to be zealous for the Lord, and then every request that comes your way, you say yes to. I'm going to go do this, and help this person, and that person, and that person. Pretty soon, you are as thin as a piece of paper, and easily torn, because you've spread yourself too thin. Is there an example of that in the Bible you can think of? Old Testament, let's start. Moses? What happened to Moses one day? Moses is out there judging the people of Israel. This is Exodus chapter 18. His father-in-law, Jethro, Zipporah's dad, comes and says, looks at Moses and he's judging all the people. And they're all coming to him and he's judging them day and night. I mean, like all day long. He is busy, 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 busy. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, says to Moses, "What you are doing, son, is not good. You and the people will wear yourselves out, for the thing is too heavy for you. You're not able to perform it alone." In other words, you're going in too many directions, Moses. You're taking on too much. You'll never last. You'll wear yourself out. Can you get worn out as a Christian? Do too many things? Take on too many tasks? Well, what is his advice to his son-in-law? Jethro said to Moses, "Here, choose some men who fear God, who are responsible. Let them take care of the little judgments. And if there's a big task, let them bring that one to you to make a judgment. But instead, you go preaching the word to the people and divide the labor." And then, he says, basically you'll prosper because you'll be bearing each other up. And it'll be easier for you and they will bear the burden with you. So do you think as a Christian you can take on too much? You sure can. You know, I know a lot of Christians, maybe myself included sometimes, where I'm like, I'm going to do that. Oh, the trouble in the world, and this is a problem. And I feel like I should fix all those things. And God says, "Greg, that's not your responsibility. Your responsibility is right here. And just take care of these things I set before you." Didn't the apostles do the same when they were preaching there in the book of Acts? And then they started to have to serve all the tables. And they said, "Wait, we're not getting to the preaching. We're not getting to the word and prayer. So here's what we'll do. We'll choose 7 men among you who will be able to go and serve the tables, but we will go and do the preaching and the prayer." And they divided the labor, and it worked out great. So don't take on too much, I would say. At least don't take on things that God hasn't given you to take on. Carrying all the burdens of the world, fixing every problem. Jesus, not for nothing, he says, "Come away by yourselves to a lonely place and rest a while." So we need to rest too. God's work, when we do it rightly, is a joy and a delight. Hard, sweat on the brow, but a joy, and he gives you refreshment along the way. Amen? So what's God want us to do for our work, in terms of our work for Christ? He basically says this: keep to the charge of what I've given you personally to do. Do you guys own a charter sailboat? Then don't go sailing on the river like I do, right? I do that as part of a ministry. Some of you ladies do the sip and stitch, so where you're knitting away. Well, I'm not going to be knitting Afghans. I don't do that. I don't do it very well. We all have keep to the charge that God gives to each of you to do. It's each of you different for each other, but when we all do it together, it's beautiful. Are there places in the Bible where God tells you to keep to your own task and not worry about somebody else? Well, take a look over here. This is 1 Peter chapter 5. Peter says, "I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, etc. Tend the flock of God that is your charge." He's talking to other pastors. He says, tend the flock that is your charge. So who should I be taking care of as pastor of Christ Lutheran? Christ Lutheran Church, right? I shouldn't worry about Faith Lutheran Church or that church over here. Tend the flock that is right here. If you're a dad or a husband, tend to your wife, tend to your children. Don't worry about someone else's wife and children. Take care of your own family. Heaven knows you got enough handful just taking care of them. And I got just enough handful taking care of you. No, actually, you guys are great. You guys are so easy. I boast of you to other churches. Believe me. But still, I got my work full just taking care of this church. Look at this. This is one of my favorite passages in the whole Bible about this. So it helps me. John chapter 21. Jesus is raised from the dead. And he's walking down the beach with Peter. He's discussing with Peter, Peter's mission. Feed my lambs, tend my lambs, feed my sheep. Remember that? And John, the apostle, is walking down the beach after them, but at a little distance. And Peter wants to know, after Jesus tells Peter about his mission, he looks behind him and he sees John walking up behind them down the beach. And he says to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man? In other words, what about his life and his death? I want to know about his mission. Jesus answers Peter, if it's my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? He says, follow me. In other words, of all people, the apostles ought to be into each other's business, right? I mean, John, I don't know what Peter's doing, and Peter ought to be into John's business. There's only 11 of them. But Jesus says, no, no, Peter. You got enough to do on your own mission. You keep to following me, and I'll take care of John. I'll take care of my mission with him. You take care of my mission with you, right? Take care of what I'm giving you to do. Like if you're a soldier in World War II, like Bud over there, he was in the Battle of the Bulge, fighting the Germans many, many, many years ago. He didn't worry, I'm sure, when he's in the trenches there in Germany, what's going on in the Pacific. He left out to his teammates, his other players in the Pacific. If he worries about the Pacific, you wouldn't have survived Germany. But if you're in Japan, or if you're in the South Pacific, you don't worry about what's going on in Europe. In other words, tend to the theater where God has called you to serve and to fight the good fight of the faith. Tend to that only, and you're going to do great. Because he's going to lead you in the things that he wants you personally to do. And it is a delight to do. Does God lead you into the good deeds? He's already prepared them ahead of time for you to walk in. You just got to walk in what he wants you to do, and it's a delight. Number one, build your faith. Believe on him whom he has sent. Read the scriptures, hear right preaching, attend to the word, attend to Christian congregations, attend to prayer. That's a joy. When you read the Bible, isn't that fun? I mean, actually, it's hard, but it's fun and a delight to hear. Number two, to love your neighbor with good deeds. Isn't that fun? It's a hard work, but it's great. I was at Walmart some time ago, a number of weeks ago, and this year I've been looking for good deeds. You ever do that? Where I'm not just doing the things that I do as a pastor. I think I want to do one good deed a day. I've been doing that in 2019, outside of my normal work. So preaching doesn't count. Visiting and communion doesn't count, stuff like that. It has to be outside my normal pale of what I would do. And so I'm looking for a good deed, and I'm at Walmart a couple weeks ago and shopping for Beth and me, as I always do on Sundays. And I got the last rotisserie chicken. Wasn't that cool? You know, the little islands? I'm like, oh, one more. And it smells so good. And it looks so good. It was like a barbecue, beautiful, traditional rotisserie chicken. And that was the best one left for last. And I grabbed it, put it in there. And then a guy comes over just as I'm going over the checkout aisle. And he goes, looks in the aisle, and he goes, and walks away like, man, I missed it. There's none left. And he shook his head to his friend. And I'm like, ding. See, I'm looking for a good deed. I'm not just happening upon a good deed. I'm looking for a good. And I'm like, sir, would you like this chicken right here? And he's like, well, no. See, he's like, they're all out over here. And he goes, no, no. I said, take mine. He said, I can't do that. I'm like, yeah, please. I'd love to. I don't need it anyway. I'll get it one another place. Here, take this. I'd love to give it to you. And he's like, hey, thanks, man. Hey, God bless you in Christ. You know, that was so beautiful. And on the outside, what did I appear like? Hey, man, no problem. Take it. It's cool. Inside, you know what I was like? Score. I'm like, yes. Good deed for the day, done. You know, what I'm telling you is think about outside your normal things that you do, because you do good things all day, I'm sure, but think of looking for something outside so that when it comes, you're looking for it and you don't miss the opportunity, because man, I've missed the opportunity so many times in my life, but that was beautiful. And then thirdly, be ready to share Christ's name. You know, seek and save the lost when that opportunity appears. And often God will throw it in at times when you didn't expect it. This week on Tuesday, I was just preparing the bulletin, and you got a bulletin done. All right? I was all I was going to do in the agenda after prayer hour on Tuesday, just the bulletin. And then I happened to have a meeting where someone who was a friend of our church brought in a friend. This girl needed freedom from her sins. I said, here's the gospel. And we came up and kneeled right here, and she received Christ as her Lord and Savior. My agenda for the day was do the bulletin. God's was save this woman's soul, right? And it's not me, it's Jesus saved her. But be ready. if you're looking for it and you're ready, the word of Jesus will be on your lips all the faster. And if you're not so bold at this, because we're all growing in it, just do what you can. Do a little tiny thing. Invite someone to church. You get bolder and more courageous the more you do it. And believe me, it's fun. It's great to share Jesus' name. It's a delight. It's such an enthusiastic, you can feel the Spirit, just the joy of it. And so, where is our encouragement for doing our work for Christ? You know where my encouragement and ours is? Jesus. Think about how he has worked for you and me for our salvation. When Jesus was a little boy, well, not this small, but 12 years old, he was found in the temple. And his parents said, you know, what are you doing here? And he says, how is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? Which, if you read that literally in the Greek, means, didn't you know that I must be in the things of my Father? That is, in my Father's affairs, about my Father's business. Jesus, when he came and he put his hand to the plow, there was much sweat upon his brow for you and me to save us. When Jesus got to the Sabbath day, he said, my Father's working still and I'm working. I'm working to save these people. When he was grown up, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night comes when no one can work. And did Jesus get distracted in 1,000 different directions? Or did he keep a single focus on his personal mission? What was it? Well, they tried to make him king one time, and Jesus withdrew and said no. And he went into the wilderness and prayed. He didn't get distracted. Another said, teacher, bid my brother divide the inheritance with me. Be a judge. And Jesus says, I won't be a judge, but here, I'll preach to you. In another case, there were Greeks who wanted to see Jesus. They went to Philip, and he went to Andrew, and they went together to tell Jesus, the Greeks want to see you. Jesus doesn't even answer them. But he just says, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. You don't have to take on everything. Just go after the one mission. And Jesus went after the mission to save you and me. If his hand was to the plow, how much sweat was on his brow? Well, you know this. When he was being betrayed, his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down upon the ground, because he's going to go forward for you and me out of love. And that was his work, to redeem us from all of our sins. And when he died on the cross, Joanne, what was it? What were his last words? You remember? It is finished. My work is done. Salvation is 100% complete, totally finished, a finished work, and I give it to you as a free gift. Isn't that beautiful? By faith. That's my encouragement. Death is conquered, sins atoned for, and eternal life is ours. And so let's join him then in his work. You're going to have so much fun doing this, by the way. It's hard, but it's great. And we're sharing his mighty salvation into the hearts of people who are in desperate need of him. Build up your faith. Be rich in good deeds together. Save the lost. And we'll do these things together with joy, with Christ, until that day when he comes and says to us, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over these little things. Behold, I set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. In Jesus' name, amen.